You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. This month, Southeast Senior Services is offering a series of lectures to help families provide care for their loved ones. This week's presenter is Laura Wayman, who has been pushing for innovation in dementia care. Hello, Laura, and welcome. Coming to us from hot Arizona.
Yes, I am coming to you from hot Arizona, and thank you so much. I'm very honored to be here and share my message.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. And also here is Denny Darby, a family caregiver support advocate for Southeast Senior Services. Hi, Denny.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You were here with us last week. How did your first session of the series go?
It went really well. You know, I think we worked all the bugs out. It was it was a great way to tee off the rest of the series. So I think, you know, we're excited to have Laura with us tomorrow. And, you know, we had a lot of viewers, a lot of really great feedback. And throughout the week, I've had more people asking how to get to the recorded sessions. So I think it's going to be, it's been a great success.
All right. Well, we'll go over the details about that a little bit later. But Laura, let's start with you. You're the author of a book called A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. What made you want to write this book?
Well, let me tell you a real quick story. So I am a gerontologist by trade. So I really have enjoyed very much over my adult lifetime learning about ways to age healthy. But I want to tell you a story of a caregiver by the name of Peggy. So many, many years ago, Jack and Peggy, Peggy was a young girl. She was 18. Jack and Peggy eloped. They had a wonderful family life. They had five healthy children of their own. And Peggy was one of those people that's just a true caregiver at heart. She loved raising children so much that she also started bringing in foster children, and she helped to raise over 20 foster children, and every one of them had special care needs. She would always find a way to care for them. And she managed to raise all of those kids to young adults, and they began leaving the home. And so Jack and Peggy began to plan for their retirement dream lifestyle. They had talked about all their married life, and they were fortunate. After all those kids were raised, they spent several years on the road in their RV because that had always been their dream for their retirement lifestyle. Except by the time they got there, they were a little older and had some challenges with their health, especially Jack. He had macular degeneration, so all the driving fell on Peggy, but he also began to show signs and symptoms of dementia, which was very hard on Peggy. She had seen many of her friends caring for loved ones with dementia. And so she began to worry about how she needed to care for him on the road. She decided it was just too hard. They sold their little house on wheels, bought a little house in a small town, and Peggy stepped into that role of being a caregiver for her beloved spouse. However, even though she was giving it her all and she was that caregiver at heart, as Jack continued to decline in his dementia symptoms, she began to struggle caring for him. And there wasn't any dementia aware resources in this little town, and her family was all long distance. So Peggy was calling on her family for some emotional support, telling them how hard it was, but she also said she was going to take care of this herself. So her family heard her, that she was exhausted, that this was challenging, but unfortunately, one night, Jack and Peggy were home alone, and Peggy had made Jack a wonderful dinner, as she always did, but as she sat down to have dinner with Jack, Peggy suffered a massive heart attack. Now, Jack's dementia was so far advanced, he didn't recognize that what was happening, that it was an emergency. So he eventually kind of wandered outside, and in his confusion, he said something about how Peggy was tired. She was sleeping on the floor. So by the time help arrived, it was too late.
Oh, that's
Peggy
terrible.
Was gone. And Peggy was my mother.
I'm so sorry.
I had to learn the hard way the impact that this has on that family caregiver, especially if it's a same age spouse. And the statistics support this. 68% of the time, if that caregiver does not access help, especially if they are, like I said, that same age spouse, 68% of the time they get sick and pass away first. this is such an arduous, difficult journey, and you must learn to ask for help, learn to care for yourself. And so I discovered the hard way that we all need to raise our dementia awareness in order to provide the kind of care that not just that person who has this dreaded, most horrific disease of our time, any cause of dementia, but for those family caregivers and the professional caregivers, those heroes who go to work and help those family caregivers with this kind of care. So that's what I do as the internationally renowned dementia whisperer, is I teach people how to better manage this, how to connect, how to have tools and strategies, how to provide a better standard of care from the resources that we can give. So that is my mission in honor of my mom, who truly was a caregiver hero.
Wow, that's very powerful. And I can see how experiencing something like that would focus your passion and motivate you to write a book and want to help others. So as you mentioned, you are known as the dementia whisperer, which indicates you must be very good at what you do. What are some of the most effective ways that your advice has helped caregivers who are struggling?
Well, one of the basic things about dementia awareness is understanding exactly what dementia is. And we have many myths. We have much misinformation about what that is and how it actually affects people and how it affects, of course, everyone around them. And so one of the most important tools that I can help caregivers of all kinds understand is what exactly dementia is, and then how it affects that person and how we can connect, kind of fill in the dots in their dementia wonderland, support their loss, support their abilities. And really basically the most basic way to say this is that that person has a broken thinker. They're having a very difficult time processing the world around them. So a dementia aware individual learns to help think for them, to keep them in feelings of love, safety, security, and value.
Denny, turning to you now, how did you come to know Laura and make her a part of this lecture series?
Well, my coworker, Erin, when we decided that we had to, because of COVID, we normally have the series live at the library, but because of COVID, we needed to adapt and create an online webinar. It was actually really my coworker, Erin, that did the research and contacted Laura. And I came along kind of later and met Laura. We had a meeting. And the thing that really excites me, Laura, that you said about, I read an interview you did with somebody that we think of trying to stop, fix, or challenge. And basically, it's about like a whisperer, like a horse whisperer. It's about listening and being with that person where they are. And I thought that's such a remarkable shift from the way that we normally deal with people with dementia.
Absolutely, and that's kind of breaking our standard habits of how we communicate with someone with a healthy brain, because what we do with somebody with a healthy brain is we challenge them to think. We challenge them to think about a response to a question. We challenge them to think about a solution to a challenge. And in doing so, we ask them to actually process, to think, to use that part of their brain that they've come to know so well over their lifetime and use all the time. Unfortunately, that very part of the brain is very much affected when someone has a cause of dementia symptoms. And so when we ask them to use it, it causes them to feel anxious. Instead of joining them where they are, joining the feelings that remain, and allowing them to know that we are there with them to get through it, to manage it, and not make them anxious or defensive or resistant by trying to stop it, fix it, or change it, because we can't. There's no cure, there's no recovery, there's no treatment for most of these causes. And there are over 100 different causes of dementia symptoms, by the way, but most of these are permanent and progressive loss. And so coming alongside them and joining them on their dementia journey just helps them to feel loved, safe, secure, and valued. Once again, in the moment, we can't stop them from then a little while later feeling frightened because of this loss, feeling anxiety, feeling frustration, but we can come along with them and help guide them through it. So that's so important. We've learned to come and try and fix this, and it just makes it worse. And that's a hard habit to break.
What's the status of dementia right now? What's the scope of the illness, its effect, and what may be changing as we move forward in time?
Well, it is a silent pandemic. Last I heard, there's over 6 million. Dan, you might have better statistics than I do, but about 6 million in the United States of those that suffer from Alzheimer's disease, which is only one of those 100 causes of dementia symptoms. So you figure that's probably quite a bit more than statistics say. The statistics also say that by the time you reach the age of 65, you have a 50% chance of having some cause of dementia symptoms, which means that 50% of our seniors in this country or around the world do have some cause of dementia symptoms at some level. And I also heard somewhere, and once again, I'm not all that great with numbers, so I'm remembering, but we're in the vicinity, I think, that there are 35 million people suffering from Alzheimer's disease around the world. And it's threatening to triple in the next 10 years, triple. Wow. And so it is just frightening. And right now on the horizon for most of these causes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Pick's disease, Lewy body disease, Huntington's disease, we do not have a cure. We have no recovery. There are some treatments. There's, for example, stroke is a cause of dementia symptoms, and there are treatments for stroke so that you don't have, perhaps they can keep you from having another stroke. But once you've had that stroke and have that brain function loss and have those dementia symptoms, they can't replace that loss. So it's permanent loss. And so unfortunately, it's not good news. I am just really the grim reaper when it comes to these kind of statistics. It's scary.
And that must translate to your clientele, Denny. How serious of a problem is it among the folks that you serve?
Well, I was just going to add to some statistics that in Alaska, by 2025, there will be approximately 140,000 people age 60 and over. And Laura, to you, that might not sound like a lot, but in a state where the population's like 700,000 people, that is quite a bit. As a matter of fact, 18 to 20% of all Alaskans are 60 and older. So that means basically one-fifth of our population is 60 and older. And particularly here in Southeast Alaska, we have a really large elderly population. In places like Haines, they have a lot of elderly people in Haines. I was just down in Klawak and Craig over the weekend. There's a lot of elders down there and in the surrounding villages as well. So it's a big issue.
Let's focus on perhaps some better news. What is changing? What innovations or improvement have there been in the field over the last decades or so that it's been studied?
Well, especially around the world, but in the United States as well, there is a standard of care that has been raised. It used to be years and years ago, for example, my grandfather had Alzheimer's, that the treatment was to bind, he was bound to his bed in a skilled nursing community and laid in his own urine for hours. And he was a very proud Victorian from England who just would have been devastated to know that his end days were so awful. There is a better standard of care. It's not your grandmother's idea of a nursing home anymore, or there's in-home care that can be provided so that we can keep them home, which is a great asset to a caregiver's toolbox if we can keep them in their familiar surroundings, keep them with their spouse or their families. Of course, that is always quite a benefit. So care has been raised and because of demand. However, we still have a long way to go. We still look at this as if it's assisted living care, and assisted living care is different than dementia care, even though it can be provided in the same building. Assisted living care or assisted care in their own home is different than dementia care in their own home. And we must have different training, different standards for training. And throughout the community, even for first responders, the entire community needs to have this dementia awareness, because that way we can provide this standard of care, this dementia aware safety net throughout the community in every way that we can provide this kind of support for not just that person with dementia symptoms, but for their caregivers and for their families and for the professionals.
Got it. Well, thank you so much, Laura Wayman and Denny Darby, for being here today and answering all of my questions. I really appreciate the information. I think it's a great preview of the presentation that's coming up this week. So, Denny, where can we sign up if we want to attend? And also, what day and time is this going to be presented?
Okay, so tomorrow from 4 to 5, you can go to our website, www.ccsak.org. You can click on the Caregiver Education Series. You can also go to our Facebook page and watch live. If you can't attend, the webinars are recorded, and you can go to our Facebook page and then click on videos, and you can view last week's webinar.
Perfect. Well, I just want to thank you both again for being here today. This has been a wonderful interview. Very interesting. I learned a lot, and I know our listeners will learn even more if they tune in on Wednesday to your talk, Laura. And so thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Have a great afternoon.
You too.